And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is Matt Smith. In the 10th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, I'll ask Matt to analyze the 0-0 draw for Fulham against Middlesbrough on Saturday. We will be spending a good amount of time looking back at that, but I will also ask him his thoughts on the result from Wednesday night against Leeds United. But before we get going, I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show and welcome him back to the 10th edition of the Coaching Corner. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well, Russ. It's our 10th show. I feel like I should have gotten you a gift or something for the 10th show. But no, it's great to be back after a week off from the international break. It's good to get back in it and good to talk Fulham.
It's good to be back and talk to you about this. And listen, we got plenty to go through. You know, it's funny, when we were setting up the show, I knew that we would obviously have time to talk about the Middlesbrough match, and I look forward to you analyzing that. But I knew that we wouldn't have enough time to really give you a chance to analyze the Leeds match. And again, we won't be going into you breaking down the game, but I definitely want to get your thoughts on the result again. Fulham play a 1-1 draw, unfortunately, last night at Craven Cottage. So just share with me your overall thoughts on the result.
It's disappointing. And, you know, after such a great point, you know, that we're definitely going to talk about, obviously, with Middlesbrough at the Riverside, you know, to come home, you know, and have a performance like that, just a kind of a ho-hum, you know, not very inspired kind of performance was hard to bear. And, you know, I know that, yeah, it's a quick turnaround and things like that, but Leeds played a midweek match. Leeds played a weekend match as well. So it's not like they were, fresher than we were. But, so yeah, it was frustrating. It was especially frustrating to hear Kit's comments afterwards that he felt like it was a point gained. I mean, I don't understand that. When you play a team at home who's below you in the table and you feel like a draw is a good result, that just doesn't, it shows a lack of ambition to me is what it shows. It shows a true lack of ambition that, you know, we should be beating those teams. I mean, if a team is below us in the table at home, definitely we should be beating those teams. And so it's frustrating to hear him kind of almost resign himself to, hey, if we don't lose, it's good kind of thing. And so that's just kind of frustrating to me.
It's really frustrating for me as well, Matt. And again, what's interesting, if you look at it, now we have three draws in a row, and they're all different in their own way. You know, again, you have the Charlton Athletic draw, then you have the Middlesbrough draw, and then you have this one. They all have their different, you know, I guess you could say characteristics. This one hurts because again, this was an opportunity to move up the table. One point, again, it's always good to get a point, but when you're at home, you need to be winning these matches, and it's funny. When I go back and I think about the last show I did, the preview of this match, and Kyle Bond, my original Cottage Talk co-host, said something that really stood out for me. He said he was talking about the differences between getting results and performances, and that again, you know, results don't always show you the performance, meaning that you need to be seeing the performance. You need to be seeing both, but you definitely need to be seeing the performance if you want to see progression. Well, Matt, you know, again, based on what I've watched, and again, before we did the show, I've watched the first half. I've seen the highlights. The performance, again, I'll go through it later with David. We are recording this on Thursday, and we'll be doing our post-match show later. But the performance wasn't there, and the result is not good enough, and that's what concerns me, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very disappointing, like I said, and, you know, it's you know, it's one thing. It is, you know, we all want a good performance and things like that. At the end of the day, you know, in terms of a manager keeping his job, to be honest with you, it's a results-driven business. And so, you know, even if we don't perform well, if the results are going one way, you know, I think we can live with it. But when the results match the performance, that's when you start to, you know, you got to be realistic and you got to start to say, hey, maybe this isn't really working. And you know, so it's. Extremely frustrating, especially because you, like you said, you made a great point that all three of these draws have very different kind of identities. You know, the draw against Charlton away, you kind of go, hey, before the match we would have taken a draw, and then we should have won the game. The draw at Middlesbrough is a very positive one. And but you know, you're at home, a team below you, and you're 1-0 up. You know, even maybe you didn't deserve it, but you're 1-0 up, and then you just continue to show some mediocrity in the second half, and you get punished for it. And so yeah, it's very frustrating, and it's something that I hope that the players can come together and make it better for themselves. I know Kit was getting a little bit of shtick last night from the fans and things like that, and honestly, you can't say he doesn't deserve it.
Listen, in my opinion, he deserves it. The players deserve it. Everyone deserves it. The one thing that frustrates me is the excuse making. Forget about the excuses. Everyone should take personal blame. The players, you know, again, they were out there. They played, so they have their responsibility in this. And I've said this before, Matt, and the thing that frustrates me is that I want my manager to take responsibility. Put blame on himself, put blame on his coaching staff, and put blame on the players. Everyone is to blame, not just the players. Everyone is to blame, and try to fix what is going wrong. Because when you have draws like this, and now we have three of them in a row, you have to ask yourself, why are we not being consistent? Why are we not turning draws into victories? And in some cases, we are almost having victories and then them being turned into draws. So again, in the case of the child match, that's what's frustrating. Is it's a fine line between winning, losing, and drawing. And unfortunately, we are right in the middle. We are in that drawing category, which is right, you could go either way. They have to figure out a way, Matt, for me to be consistent and turn these draws into victories. And can you put your finger on why they're not able to do that right now?
You know, it's hard to from the outside looking in. You know, it's always hard to kind of to be able to point out the one or two things that it's really, you know, that's really going on. You know, the one thing that I've always seen whenever we go up, or at least with the exception of the QPR match, maybe, is that when we get a lead, Kit seems to be very, very tentative to kill the game off and to ask the players to kill the game off. We make very defensive substitutions. We kind of change our game plan into a more defensive one, which just invites pressure. And and we all know that we're not touted to be one of the best defenses in the league, and we're not great at dealing with balls in the air. And when teams are down a goal, they start to pump balls into the box the later the match goes, and you're going to be under a lot more pressure. And so, if I were to pick one from the outside looking in, I would think that would be it. That it's whenever we go up, we tend to tense up a little bit. We tend to play a little bit more defensive as compared to going in and try to kill the game off. And I think that comes, in a lot of ways, that comes from the top and works its way down in terms of tactics and kind of how it's going to go. You know, like I said, with the rare exception of the QPR game, that's kind of how it's been all season. And honestly, it's kind of been how it's been all the way under Kit the whole time.
Well, again, that goes back to me really talking about this. And again, I know how you feel about the manager, and I feel the same way. And what's frustrating, you bring out that match, the QPR match. That is the exception to the rule. And I'm glad that you brought it out that way, because that's how I want to see Fulham play on a regular basis. And when I watched the first half, when I watched the highlights, for whatever reason, I saw Fulham have the play at home being dictated to. It reminded me of the Wolves match. It reminded me of the Brighton match. And I would also say the Huddersfield Town match. At home, we should be dictating the play, and we're letting the visiting side come in and dictating the play. And that, to me, again, I just don't understand why they're not getting into the flow early into these matches. There was no flow from Fulham from what I saw. And all the commentary I've seen, it basically is backing up what I watched, at least in the first half in the highlights. They again, Matt, there was no flow. It just didn't seem like there was flow from the back to the front. It was all haphazard, again, lumping balls up at certain times, trying to make that killer pass, but it just didn't seem to flow.
Yeah, and it's something that, in terms of, like you said, consistency and things like that. And I think, again, that comes from the manager. And you wonder, you hear from from players, from professional players in the past, talk about how certain managers would treat different games differently and you know, would not be as focused on the training pitch and things like that. And you wonder if that's something that's going on, if it's something that's going on at Fulham, is maybe the concentration for each match is maybe not the same from the manager, which that also trickles down into the players as well. I mean, if he, you know, if Kit Simons comes in and says, hey, we're going to do this and this, and you know, for a big game, and we're going to work on very specific things for, you know, for Middlesbrough away and things like that. And then you go back and, yeah, you get a good result, and then maybe you get a little bit complacent as a manager and think that it's just going to happen next time. And, you know, maybe you're not as focused or getting the team as focused on the training ground for the next match. And so, you know, everything like that comes from the top. And, you know, just maybe that's where the lack of consistency starts, is from the focus on the training pitch from the coaching staff and getting the players focused for the next match. And so, you know, maybe that's something that's bleeding onto the field.
See, I'm glad that you brought that up, because after the match, you know, I was thinking back to the interview done the day before with Kit and Sarah. And Kit, during the interview, was asked by Sarah, again, talking about Steve Evans coming and taking over for Leeds and any concerns he would have about, you know, not just a new manager bounce, but you know, again, I'm paraphrasing, but how they were going to be playing against Fulham. And again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact quote from Kit, but he was focused more, again, he made it clear in this interview, he was focused more on how Fulham were playing and not going to really worry as much, again, I'm paraphrasing, of what Steve Evans was going to do. So you could tell that the emphasis was, this is how we play, and this is how we're going to go out and play. And not, at least the way that I read it, Matt, it looked like, again, he was more concerned about how Fulham were going to go out and play than the opponent. And I think you have to game plan for an opponent. I don't know how much he game planned for this opponent. That's what concerned me, Matt.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think in fairness, with a new manager, you kind of, you know, whatever scouting reports and game plans you might have for Leeds may go out the window, because the new manager may come in and change things, you know, in some certain ways and things like that. So, you know, there is that to be played, but the players have individual tendencies that I'm sure that they've scouted as well. And so, right, you know, this player likes to do this, this player likes to do this, and therefore this is kind of the way their team flows. So, you know, there is a little bit of it, you know, and there is a little bit to be said for, you know, hey, let's concentrate on us, and as long as we play well and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, at that level, you've got to game plan defensively and how you can attack teams, individual teams and stuff like that. I think it's something that we deal with, you know, even at the college, that I deal with at the college level, is, you know, I basically concentrate on my team and how we're going to play and things like that. Because if you worry too much about the other team, they'll think, oh, he thinks they're better than us and da da da. But, you know, at the pro level, they don't think like that. So at the higher levels, it's a different mentality. They understand kind of, hey, we've got to know how to stop this, and we've got to know how to exploit this on our end. And so, you know, it is a little bit disappointing to hear him say that. And, you know, there's things that, you know, even though, yeah, we want to concentrate on how we play, we also want to concentrate on how they play so that we can attack that, you know, and maybe find some of their weaknesses even individually. Even though the tactics may change a little bit from manager to manager, the individual people don't really change that much. So you can find something individually to attack and exploit in order to be successful.
Right. And again, listen, I'm not saying that Kit didn't do his homework, but again, the comment made me think, okay, he's obviously very concerned about how his team's going to play. And I understand that, but I also believe in game planning for an opponent, taking advantage of club's weaknesses and try to work around their strengths and then play to your strengths. And yes, Steve Evans is a different manager, but I'm sure Steve Evans has tendencies that Kit probably knows from his time at Rotherham, and you can look at the way he played at Rotherham, and also look at how the players that Leeds have, and come up with a way to beat this team. And based on the interview, I just had the feeling, Matt, that he was, again, I'm not saying that he didn't look into it or gave it some thought. I think possibly, this is my opinion, he put too much emphasis on how Fulham we're going to go out there and play rather than the opponent and game planning against the opponent. That's just my opinion.
No, and I completely, I mean, I agree with you, and obviously, you know, you bring up a good point with, you know, he's going to know, he should know at least some of the tendencies as you know, for the manager, you know, that he has just coming in and things like that. And so, you know, that's a good point. And you know, you do have to worry about the other team. I mean, because it's you know, it changes from game to game, and it changes from, you know, locale to locale. I mean, how are you going to play at home? How do you play on the road? You know, that kind of stuff. And so it is, you know, and maybe, you know, I like to think that maybe he's just simplifying it for the press. You know, I really wish that he would have maybe even just kept that even quiet and just say, hey, we're just going to go out and try to do our best. We've done our scouting reports and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, you almost wish that he would have gone the other way as compared to, you know, oversimplifying it and just saying, yeah, we're just going to concentrate on us.
You know what? And that's a great point. And again, listen, I'm spoiled here. You know which other team I've followed in another sport, and I'm used to the head coach playing chess and the other team playing checkers and being a mental game. It's not all a mental game. It's also about talent. It's a combination of the two. It's a complete team effort. And you know, again, what frustrates me is I wish he didn't say anything. And like you said, I wish he was more general and didn't really say, you know, that, oh, I'm just more worried about my team, you know, because again, that got me thinking, okay, what's going into the preparation here? Was the team prepared? These are the doubts that are in my mind right now. How prepared were Fulham going into this match? And the adjustments that were made during the match. There were adjustments made in the second half, but I thought they were reactionary instead of being proactive. And that's what frustrates me, man. I know I'm coming off as being harsh, but I'm very disappointed by this result. And Fulham can do better. Fulham can be a top 16. They have that type of talent. But right now, they're certainly not playing it. The table doesn't lie, as our co-host David Holly would always say. We deserve to be where we are. And something needs to change, honestly, if we want to be thinking about promotion. Something drastic needs to change. That's just my opinion. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's, you know, again, you know, after we go rambling on about the match last night, and again, this is Thursday, so that was Wednesday's match. Let's now go back. Let's look at something a little bit more positive, because I think this is a positive result. Let's talk about the match on Saturday. Because again, I actually think Kit got this one right. I really do. I think Kit set the team up correctly. I want to give him praise for the Middlesbrough match. I know, you know, again, it's a nil-nil draw, but again, my opening thoughts on it is that, you know, he set them up very defensively, but it worked. The plan actually worked in this match. Do I wish they got 3 points? Yes, but I want to give Kit credit, Matt, and those are my opening thoughts. What are yours?
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think if we're going to negatively criticize Kit, I think we've also got to be fair, and give him credit when it's due. And I think it's definitely due for this match. I thought he set us up really well to frustrate them. I thought that, you know, in the past, our kind of our two banks of four that we have, you know, our four backs and our four midfielders, at times could be, you know, not close enough together, would allow gaps in behind and things like that. But I thought they were spaced perfectly. I thought that they, you know, we defended as a unit. I think that what I saw that we did really well is a lot of times you see us win the ball by a player coming back towards our goal to defend, to almost come from behind and win the ball. And that can be really, really effective because as a player's, you know, working towards, you know, as faced up and as running at the goal, you know, a lot of times they're not prepared to deal with a player coming from behind and winning the ball. And so, you know, you see Dembele do it a lot in this match. You see McCormick do it a lot. You even see O'Hara and Tunnicliffe do it, you know, when they get in behind the midfield and things like that. So, you know, I thought that they had us really, really, really ready, just very defensively compact. I think that we came in with a definite game plan of, I won't say time wasting. I'm not going to say time wasting because it wasn't that. Because when the ball was in play, we still did, when we had the ball, we still did look to go forward. We didn't just look to just hoof it up the field and things like that. But we were managing the game and slowing the pace of the
Yes.
game down. We know that, you know, Middlesbrough is a very good team. With a lot of former Premier League players, and they can be very dangerous when if the game is wide open. I think on paper we probably don't win that match, especially at Middlesbrough. But you've got to do is learn how to is have your players at any chance they get to slow the game down, and we did that. We wouldn't run over to take throw-ins. We wouldn't run over to take free kicks in our defensive half. Things like that. Just this little things to slow the game down, and keep the ball out of play for as long as possible, because we knew that we were, the kind of opponent we were going up against. Now, I mean, having said that, I mean, we had a couple of chances to score some goals. I mean, McCormick, caused a great save from the goalkeeper towards the end. And, and really, if you look at their chances, were they really incredibly dangerous chances? I think we've seen much more dangerous chances than Middlesbrough had throughout the match. So, I thought that we were fantastic. I thought our back line was fantastic. And we definitely came out with a plan. And more importantly, the plan's great. The plan and setting out the plan's great. But the execution from the players was very, very good. And that's really the most important part of it is, you and I can go in and plan a show for hours and hours and hours and hours. If we come to the show and don't ask any of the questions or don't talk about any of the topics that we prepare for, then it's not going to be a very good show. And so, you've got to be able to execute, and that's the most important thing. And I think we did a great job of that.
Listen, I completely agree. And again, we started the show by really criticizing the Fulham manager and obviously the players for the performance and the result from last night. But in this match, you have to give credit where it's due. And Kit, the game plan was great. He was prepared for this match. There's no question about it. So the preparation was there. Definitely, Matt. And again, most importantly, and I'm glad that you brought it, you can have all the preparation. It's about the execution. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And the execution was there. The game plan, they not only had the game plan, but they executed it and it worked. And it frustrated them. And they did not have the best opportunities. Fulham did. So it definitely worked. And that's why the team and Kit deserve credit for the Middlesbrough draw. Again, they had opportunities to win this match, but I will take a draw on the road. And then, it gets you to think when you can play like this against a team, Matt, that I believe is going to be promoted at the end of the season. I truly believe that you play like that, again, I know it's on the road, and then you follow that up with some of these other inconsistent performances. That's what gets you scratching your head, because this to me was a positive performance. Even though it was defensive in nature, it got a result, and that to me was the bottom line. Going into this match, I thought they were going to lose. So again, I give Kit and the team so much credit. All right, let's now break down the players in this match. And let's talk about the two goalkeepers, because it wasn't just one, it was two, because Andy Lonergan did get hurt in the second half, got injured and had to come up, and Joe Lewis came on. How did both goalkeepers fare in this match?
I mean, I thought they played pretty well. I don't really think they had, there were, basically, if you would have said that we drew 0-0 with Middlesbrough at Middlesbrough, you probably would have said, well, Lonergan must have had to have saved us a couple times. With a couple of great saves as he's done all year. And really, I mean, he had some saves to make, but I mean, how many incredible saves did he have to make? Now, I would venture to say none. I mean, he had to make some saves that you should expect him to make, and he did, and was very clean with the ball. And with Joe Lewis, he played 18 minutes, and so, you can't really – it's even hard to get into the game at that point. But here's what I love. I love the fact that we have – three capable goalkeepers. I mean, last year,
absolutely,
our third goalkeeper was going to be, what, a 17, 18-year-old kid? Yep. Rodak would have been basically our third goalkeeper last year. And now we have three very capable goalkeepers. And so, when Lonergan went down, you're like, you're not happy about it. But you see Joe Lewis come in and you go, hey, this guy can actually, this guy is a very, very sufficient and more than capable replacement.
Absolutely, and he showed that last night. Again, you can watch the highlights and watch back the replay. I thought he was excellent, and as I saw on Twitter and social media, and I'll be talking over this with David later when we do the post-match show, I could see why so many thought of him as the man of the match, because he did he did make some key saves. All right, Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about the play of the fullbacks in this match. That would be Jazz Richards on the right and Luke Garbutt on the left.
I was pretty impressed, actually, with Luke Garbutt. You know, it was his first full debut. You know, he did get forward. You know, obviously he virtually had to play with James Husbands not being eligible to play in the match. And, you know, I thought he played quite well. You know, he was, you know, very, very good in his passer rating. He was, you know, he was 80% in his passer rating, which is very good coming out of the back. You know, he was, he even got away four crosses, which shows that he's getting forward. So, you know, I thought that he played quite well, especially for his first full match for us, you know, I guess the whole season. You know, I thought he played quite well. And it's something that, you know, yeah, our outside backs didn't get forward nearly as much, but, you know, we were under the cosh a lot. We were under pressure, and I thought he defended well and, you know, really defended cross as well. I thought that he really closed down the wide spaces and, you know, was able to get us out of trouble with a couple of tackles and winning some free kicks out of the back for us and things like that. You know, actually, you know, Jazz Richards, you know, I'm always back and forth on him. You know, I prefer somebody like a Ryan Fredericks. I do think that Kit got it right in this match though, to play Ashley Richards, because I think that he's a better pure defender. Which is, I can't believe I'm even saying that, but he is a better pure defender, which is what we needed. We didn't need somebody with pace that's going to get up and down, sure, because we knew that we weren't going to get up a lot. And so, so playing Ashley Richards was probably the right call. You know, played very, very well, gave us width in the attack as we came forward. You know, if you look at his heat map, or where he was most of the time, in the attack, it's very, very wide. Which is good, because it basically just makes us bigger and harder to defend. He, again, you know, just like Garbutt, he was actually 85% pass completion percentage, so, which is very, very good. And he was, you know, pretty good on the dribble and made some good tackles, and you know, was very, very important to what we did. You know, but both of them, hey, you know, when you have Stuart Downing on the outside, you know, for a team, you've got to be good defensively, because he's a very good player, especially at the championship level. He's a very good player and a dangerous player. And, you know, I think there was only that one time that we allowed Downing to cut in and really have a really good shot, even though it was off frame. But so, you know, I thought that both of them actually played really well.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, again, in this match against Middlesbrough, the fullbacks were solid, but honestly, defensively, I thought the center backs were the stars of the match. Again, I'm talking about Richard Stearman and Dan Byrne coming in for an injured Tim Ream. He played in, I believe on the Fulham website, Dan Byrne got man of the match, but I actually voted for Richard Stearman because I thought he was tremendous. Talk about the plays of the play of these two center backs.
I thought they were fantastic. I mean, they clearly were the men of the match. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think the voting was like one vote or two votes or something. It was very, very close in terms of the fans for man of the match. I think they got it spot on. I mean, I think that they were fantastic. What I talked about in the opening thoughts is they didn't drop off too much. They kept a decent line. They kept good spacing in between them and the midfield, and didn't allow a lot of space in front of them for Middlesbrough to get the ball, turn at us, and run. You know, I thought they did a very good job of forcing the ball wide, and then we did a very good job of closing down crosses and dealing with, you know, with balls coming in and things like that, which is, you know, it feels weird to say that about us. But I thought that they were both of them were both in control. You know, and you wonder, is that the pairing? I mean, if they can play like that together in a big match like that, is that the pairing that maybe we should go with? I mean, Tim Ream, obviously, was unfortunate that he had to miss, and he would have played, I think, if he was healthy. You know, to be able to bring in somebody like Dan Byrne and get a performance like that, I mean, you've got to, I mean, there's something in your head that's got to say, well, I mean, maybe this is the pairing. You know, I think that's what they did really well, is they closed down the space in front of them, controlled the space behind him, but closed down the space in front of him at the same time. And if you can control that balance by not leaving too much space in behind, in order for teams to pass through you and yet controlling the space in front of you, you're going to be very, very successful as central defenders.
Listen, I completely agree with you, Matt. And what's interesting, you talking about Dan Byrne and Richard Stearman working so well together. Again, another option, you know, Kick can now go to Tim Ream or he can go to Dan Byrne. And dare I say, even Sean Hutchinson has played well. Now, with the additions of Ream and Stearman, several options at the center back position. He can even move Ream out to left back if he wants. He now has flexibility defensively. But you're right, you know, a partnership needs to be made. So maybe, you know, again, maybe there's a decision to be made. Maybe you go with Byrne moving forward. This is something that Kit needs to figure out, but it's a good problem to have, honestly, because, again, it just shows that now we have depth and quality depth at the center back position, because I actually think Sean Hutchinson is not a bad center back. I think he's just a young center back that will only get better with time. And Dan Byrne is really showing that he can play at this level. So, again, we now have, I want to say, four center backs. And Kidd has choices to make, and but he definitely needs a pairing. He needs to make a decision on the pairing. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the play of the midfield. We're talking about Ben Pringle, LVC, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Jamie O'Hara, and Ryan Fredericks came on late, very late. He came on in the 90th minute. We'll talk about him a little bit later about coaching decisions. But just talk about the play of the midfield in general.
I thought they played reasonably well. I don't think it was O'Hara's best game, because I think that he needs to be on the ball a lot in order to really affect a game. He'll do the defending and he'll do the hard work just because he's a good professional and he's just a blue collar kind of guy. But you know, but in order to affect the game and things like that, he needs to be on the ball more. And it was just a game where he just wasn't going to be on the ball. But defensively, I thought he was good. I thought Tunnicliffe was dangerous at times and was good at kind of holding that space as we came forward, holding the space in behind and even getting forward to the top of the box to be support. He had a couple of, you know, a couple of looks and you know, in some dangerous places. You know, both of them, I thought, played reasonably well. I thought that, you know, it wasn't O'Hara's best passing game, you know, even though he was about the 85% mark in terms of pass completion. You know, he didn't have as many key passes. He, you know, he did have three shots, but, you know, so he was still one of our more dangerous players going forward. But I don't feel like he got the ball. He was on the ball a lot more in the attacking half when he got on the ball in the attack as compared to building the attack from our defensive half. Just because of us having to basically, when we would gain possession, it would mostly be from a clearance, and then we would get on the end of it. And that's how kind of we would gain possession. So we would gain possession higher up the field as compared to building it. And that's when Jamie O'Hara is at his best, is when he can kind of build the attack from, you know, about the, you know, the middle third, basically kind of like in the center circle on our defensive half and kind of further up the field and things like that. As for the wide players, I thought they played reasonably well as well. I mean, I thought LVC, you know, at times got caught inside a little bit, but, you know, just his natural wanting to be, you know, towards the middle of the pitch and things like that. But, I mean, overall, I thought he did a good job, and he did defend well, and, you know, he had his hands full over on that side. And, you know, Ben Pringle, you know, kind of a similar thing. You know, he was able to get forward a little bit more, at least from what I saw. He was a little bit more – he was definitely our true wide man. He still tends to get caught inside sometimes, but I thought he did a good job of in the attack, really pulling wide and offering us some width. You know, he only had four crosses. You'd like to see him have probably six or more. But in a game like this, again, it's going to be one where, you know, if he can get four or five off, that's kind of a positive for him. So, you know, overall, I thought they did well. I don't think they got caught too high too many times, and you know, when they did, they realized it and they were able to press. So really, if you get caught high as a midfield, which means you're probably a little bit further away from your back line as you would like to be, you have to be able to press the ball high up the field and at least make it difficult for them to find the space in behind you. And I thought they did that very, very well.
Okay, very good there, Matt. All right, now let's talk about the strikers up front, Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembélé.
Well, Moussa was to this, you know, this was a game, honestly, I think if healthy, would have been very good for Matt Smith because of the nature of how he would be receiving the ball. A lot of clearances, a lot of balls in the air, not a lot of balls to feet in the channels, things like that. I think if healthy, I think Matt Smith probably would have been the choice, but obviously that was not an option. But I thought that Musa did a very, very good job of challenging every ball. You know, at least, you know, what I always ask my players is, listen, I understand you're not going to win every ball and every clearance because, you know, there's times where we're going to be under pressure as a back line and we're just going to have to hoof it forward. There's just those times, especially in the games like Saturday. But all I ask is at least just challenge the ball. Make it difficult. Don't allow them to just bring the ball down on their chest and play. Make them have to play one touch. Make them have to clear the ball out. You know, things like that. And I think that's something he did very, very well. I think there's an instance that a lot of people don't really catch until you really think about it is he would be played through or a long ball would be played through or cleared, whatever, behind their backs. And Middlesbrough would be chasing, you know, as compared to Musa just sitting back and letting them receive the ball and just turn and play and then come back at us. He put just enough pressure on them so that they had to clear the ball out for a throw in for us. And that's a big thing. That's a very, very big thing. Instead of him sitting back and just saying, hey, I'm going to save myself and just, you know, we're going to stay organized and compact, he took a chance and put just enough pressure on them so that they had to deal with it and they had to clear the ball out. And it allowed us to slow the game down and regain possession. And I think that's a really big thing. And it's actually a very mature thing from a very young player to kind of know when those chances are and to take those chances. I think Ross, on the other hand, was very much the under man. You know, he was looking for knockdowns from Musa. You know, I thought that he did a good job of compressing the space in between the forwards and the midfielders. You know, if you look at kind of his heat map, you know, he's all over the field if you split the field into thirds, he's all over the map, all over the width of the field in the top part of our neutral third. So there's the neutral third, our attacking third. He's right on that line almost the whole game, just chasing and being, you know, being a nuisance and trying to pick the ball up there. So I thought he did a very, very good job of doing that and basically just making it hard for them to play out of the back and hard for them to build attacks. And really at the end of the day, when you know you're going to have to defend a lot, that's important, is make it difficult. I mean, they're going to be able to get in behind you. Yeah, they're going to have more of the ball. But, I mean, at least make it hard on them. You know, don't make it simple. And I think they did that. And, you know, and we created a couple chances, you know, with Musa chasing down balls and, you know, we built some attacks off of their mistakes. And, you know, unfortunately we weren't fortunate enough to take care of one of the chances, but, you know, like you said before, I mean, I thought that, you know, we created, you know, the best of the chances probably went our way. And, yeah. I think that comes from just the focus defensively and the preparedness to attack off of that.
Listen, I completely agree with you, Matt. And before we move on to go to coaching situations, I want to just concentrate a little bit longer on the strikers. A couple things. First of all, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but multiple reports. But again, I believe it also started with Simon Peach from the Press Association is reporting that Fulham are close to having Moussa Dembele sign a long-term deal with the club for 4 years. Again, it hasn't happened yet, but they are potentially very close to him signing a new deal. What are your thoughts about that if he does sign this new deal with Fulham?
Oh, I think it's massive. I think it's huge. I think it'll see him into the prime of his career. I mean, he's 19 right now. That 4 years will take him into when he's 23. And for a striker of his style, which is pace, power, shiftiness, running at people, getting into channels, that kind of player, you know, their prime is going to be from 20 to 26. That's going to be their prime. And so we could have him for, you know, 3 or 4 of those years, you know, that he could be, that he'll be with us. So, you know, he'll be 20 and, he just turned 19 just this summer. So, you know, it'll be great to see him be able to grow. I think that's the important thing is to see him really be able to progress and really, you know, a lot of times when a player can do that, especially a young player, he can get settled. And he can say, hey, listen, I'm going to be here for 4 years. And, you know, in the kind of society and the kind of culture that we live in that's so day-to-day and so who knows what's going to happen the next minute, and because things could change in a heartbeat, to have that kind of longevity and that kind of security can be really settling to a player, and just let him be able to play his football and really grow and be comfortable and not worry about, hey, is so-and-so looking at me? Am I going to get my deal? Whatever, everything's settled. So it can be very, very important, especially for a young player. And he deserves it. He deserves every dollar he gets. I think he deserves, because he's been, he's been a very good player for us, a very loyal player for us, and somebody who's really, put a shift in every time he comes on. So I'm glad that if we get him signed up for a long-term deal, I think that's definitely a very positive thing for us.
I think it's a positive thing for Fulham. I think it also would be a very positive thing for Moussa Dembele. Like you said, he'll then be settled and know what his future is going to be like for, hopefully, like you said, 4 more years. Again, things can happen, but I think it would be good for the club, really good for the club. And obviously, I also think it would be good for him, for his growth as a player, playing on this level. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully we get promoted sooner than later. He'll get that opportunity in the Premier League. And if he plays well, he could always at some point go to a bigger side. But let's hope he stays with Fulham for a while. Let's hope the deal happens. Again, I have a good feeling about this, man. I think it would be very good for everyone involved if he does sign. And again, knock on wood, let's hope it happens. But before we move on, I do want to ask you about your namesake, Matt Smith, because had a conversation on the last show with Kyle Bond. We were talking about Matt Smith. I was arguing that Matt Smith is now the really good plan B option now. He should be the plan B option. But I also said, and Kyle was making the argument, that in certain situations, he could potentially be the starter. And then someone like Moussa Dembele or Kali Woodrow could be your change of game striker, meaning that again, they're different skill sets. So maybe in certain situations, Matt Smith can start, and in other situations, then he becomes the plan B. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have basically very different strikers. It's something I think you and I talked about at the beginning of the season. Is very fortunate to have is very different strikers. I mean, if you have four strikers that have a lot of the same skill sets. Is there a lot of interchange? I mean, is there, what are you going to get? You're going to get kind of a cookie cutter, effect in terms of everything's going to kind of be the same no matter who's playing. And what that does is it really makes it very simple to prepare for other teams is, hey, they've got four strikers, but they all like to do this, and this is all what they like to do. Now, now that we have four strikers with very different skill sets, I mean, I think, Ross is kind of a almost a Wayne Rooney-ish, kind of a box-to-box, really blue-collar, will defend. You'll see him win a ball at the top of our box and carry it forward and build attacks and then be in the box before you know it and score a scrappy goal, something like that. Moussa is kind of the quintessential, kind of the forward of today. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful, he's shifty. He really can upset defenses and loves to run into channels. Matt Smith is very much almost an old school England forward, a knockdown kind of forward, Peter Crouch type. Definitely a true target forward. And then you've got Kali Woodrow, who a lot of times we've seen has been lightning in a bottle off the bench. And so, what you've got to do is it takes time to prepare for each one of those. And so, for a team that's playing against us, as soon as Matt Smith gets healthy, you're sitting there as a team coming in and saying, okay, now we've got to prepare for this. Oh, but we've also got to prepare for this. Oh, we've also got to prepare for this. So you can't concentrate on one thing. You've got to kind of scatter your concentration, which allows, could allow you to be pretty successful, because they don't know what you're going to do. They won't know until an hour before kickoff if Matt Smith's starting or if Moussa Dembele's starting. And so that can be very, and very advantageous for us.
No, I agree. And, I've had some time to think about it after talking to Kyle about it. And he makes a valid point that I shouldn't be ruling out Matt Smith starting in certain matches. You already mentioned possibly if he was healthy, could have started in the Middlesbrough match. Because, again, maybe this is the type of match where he really could benefit from and the team could benefit from his his play, you know, lumping up the ball up to him, maybe he would have been a good option there. And David Holley actually mentioned he thought that Matt Smith should have been included at least on the bench against against Leeds United last, if he was healthy. Again, we don't know. I think he's pretty close, but again, it's just another option. I'm glad that we could talk about Matt Smith and the fact that we have these different strikers. I think it makes it difficult for teams to prepare for. So I think that's a good thing. All right, Matt, we only have about 15 minutes left. Let's go to coaching situations. And again, listen, you know, we can be critical of Kit when he deserves it, but we have to praise him when he has done things right. And I think he did many things right in this last match. And again, let's start here. Kit was quoted after the match from the Gazette Live and revealed part of the strategy of the Middlesbrough match. He said, quote, "We looked at them and knew they're a good side. And if we press too high, they'd be able to pass through us. So we dropped off to the halfway line, made ourselves very compact. Then they got frustrated and tried to force it a bit. They put us under pressure in the second half, but we defended well, and both of our goalkeepers didn't have too many saves to make." Matt, did Kit get this one right?
I think absolutely he did. I think that where I think Middlesbrough got it wrong and where it worked in our favor is that, you know, when you start to force, you know, he said that, you know, they started to force it a bit. What he means by that is they started to play very direct and down the middle. When we keep it compact, that's exactly where we want the ball. I think the one thing that Middlesbrough probably should have done, looking back on it from their side, is you know, when things are compact vertically, the space is horizontally. And so that's what I thought we did a very good job of, is basically just allowing them to play in the middle, but compacting that space so that we can win it back. You know, the most dangerous points in the match were when, for us, defensively, was when the ball got outside to Stuart Downing or out to the other wing. So, right. You know, that's kind of the simple way to put it, is that when we're compressing space vertically, so up and down the field, the space is horizontal, which means out wide. But we did a very good job of funneling the ball inside, and they were forcing it. And then when that happens, that's usually down the middle, and it played right into our hands. And so I think absolutely that you know, that he – you know, he definitely got it right, and he was right. I mean, our goalkeepers didn't have too many saves to make.
Yeah, listen, you know, again, you have to give credit to Kit, the players, everyone with Fulham Football Club. I thought they did a very nice job in this match, and I thought that Kit prepared the team very well to play against Middlesbrough. Again, we're talking about the Middlesbrough match, not the last match against Leeds. Let's just be clear. These coaching situations we're talking about are from Saturday and not from last night. All right, Matt, let's move on. Besides the goalkeeper, Kit made one substitution very late in the 90th minute, and that was Ryan Fredericks coming on for Ben Pringle. What do you think of the substitution, and do you think he might have waited too late to make this change?
Well, I think the simple answer is no, because we drew 0-0. So think that that you know, obviously hindsight being 20/20, if you know, if we lose the match 1-0 in the 90th, you know, in injury time, then you'd probably say, yeah, it's way too late, right? But you know, luckily for you know, luckily on that, the result worked out. You know, I personally probably would have gone a little bit earlier. You know, Fredericks is definitely a defensive, a more defense minded player. I think he's a better substitution than, you know, looking back when we played Charlton, you know, when Garbutt came in. You know, possibly a little too early and was defensive, but it's a different kind of substitution with Fredericks. Fredericks is a kind of a hybrid between the two, whereas Garbutt's a true defender, I think. So I think had we made that a little bit earlier, I think that he maybe could have pressed the ball higher up the field and helped us, you know, just with his pace, you know, get up and down and really help, you know, kind of shut things down. So, you know, would I have liked to seen it before the 90th minute? Yeah. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you can't, it's hard to second guess, you know, when he got the result that we needed.
He did get the result, but again, you know, in hindsight, I wish he did it earlier. I believe he was initially going to come on in the 85th minute, and there was a little bit of a delay. He didn't come on until the 90th minute. And honestly, I personally, you know, again, I'm an aggressive person. I would have liked to see Ryan Fredericks come on earlier. If you're going for the win, it sounded like, you know, again, at the very end, they're going for the win because they saw the opportunity. I just wish Kit, this is just my personal preference, was a little bit more aggressive than conservative and brought him on a little bit earlier, Matt, if that makes sense.
No, I'm completely with you. And you and I have talked about that before. I mean, if I think that it's much easier for fans to forgive an aggressive mistake. That's where I think that's probably been you and I, for you and I at least, that's been probably our biggest criticism of Kit, is that he makes too many passive mistakes. And
Yes.
if he were to make aggressive mistakes in terms of personnel, I think we could probably forgive that because he's going for it. And
Right, exactly.
in that respect, I completely agree that if he's going to make an aggressive, aggressive mistake, I think we can deal with that. And he needs to make it, a little bit earlier if we're really going to chase the game.
Exactly. No, listen, I totally agree. I think we're definitely on the same page on that. All right. Final topic we're going to discuss, and again, when I saw the comments after the match, this actually irritated me a great deal. I understand in the Charlton match because again, it was the end of the match, and there was some time wasting going on there. I get that, but what do you make of the claims regarding time wasting by the Middlesbrough manager, Aitor Karanka? He wasn't just talking about the end of the match; he's basically talking about the entire match. I completely disagree with him on this. What are your thoughts?
Well, agree or disagree, it's pretty much sour grapes.
Yes.
It's his job and his team's job to score during the 90 minutes. And it's our job to keep them from scoring for 90 minutes. Now, however we want to go about that and however they want to go about that is their business. And if you want to talk about a team's tactics because it worked and complain about it, then that's kind of on you as a manager. I don't really. When I heard that, I was just kind of—I just kind of shrugged it off and said, "Hey, whatever. You can say what you want to. It's fine. You can be upset and you can be frustrated that our tactics worked and yours didn't. And and I know it's going to happen the other way as well. And I understand that. I mean, it happens. With my team, I don't talk a whole lot about my team here, but with my team here, we've got a top 10 offense in the country. So teams, a lot of teams that we play actually try to do that. They actually try to slow the game down and time waste, if you want to call it that or whatever. But and yeah, is it frustrating at the time? Yeah, it is. But you look back on it and you go, well, that's kind of their job. Their job is
Exactly.
to get a result and our job is to score and win the game. So it sounds like to me, it just sounds like a frustrated manager is what it is at the end of the day. And I think if if for instance, if Middlesbrough goes and plays Man City in the FA Cup, guess what they're going to do? They're probably going to time waste. I mean, that's it's one of those things that it's easy to say and complain about when it happens to you, when it's done to you. But guess what? If the shoe's on the other foot, he's probably sitting there saying, "Hey, it's their job to score. It's our tactic. That's really none of your business." And if you don't score, if you can't do it in the time given, then that's your fault, not ours. And so it's just kind of, I it's tough to hear when managers talk out of both sides of their mouth sometimes. And I think that's just the case here.
I totally agree. And the irony of all of this is that when we did our post-match show, I actually read part of an article from Anthony Vickers, who's a writer up in Middlesbrough, and he gave examples of Middlesbrough time wasting last season. Or I should say potential time wasting, again, because again, it's his opinion that they were doing it as well. And it's funny because I took it as total sour grapes. He was frustrated. I believe he was quoted at some point, I'm paraphrasing, but basically talking about the fact that Fulham wouldn't let his team play. It's not Fulham's fault if your team can't play. It's your fault not to finding another way. You need to find another way. The onus is not on Fulham, but on you, Aitor Karanka. Okay, this is a match, Matt, that I truly believe that our Fulham manager, Keith Simons, outcoached Aitor Karanka. Am I wrong for feeling that way?
I mean, you got to think that. I mean, it's kind of weird for us to say that, because I'm not sure how many times we've been able to say that this year. I think
But in this
that
case, in this case.
yeah. I mean, it's a game by game. That's probably been the most frustrating thing about the season is that it is a game by game league. It's not, your standing in the table has nothing to do with the last game you played. It has to do with the next game you're going to play and the next game you're going to play and so on and so forth. It's a game by game league, and on this one you've got to tip your hat and say he got it right and he won the chess match,
He
and we
did.
executed it. And, you know, you it, there's come it's just all it is sour grapes, and it's something that you know, I'm sure Kit will say if we play somebody and they try to time waste. I mean, it's just kind of, it's jibber jabber for managers, and it's something that you just got to deal with, and it's frustrating to hear that, but I don't really care because we got the point.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you, and I think that's why I'm a little bit frustrated today, because again, there was an opportunity last night, Matt. Again, we're talking about this point against Middlesbrough, where again, I think Kidd outcoached the other manager, and now we're talking about a situation against, again, I'm going to call him the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Steve Evans, someone that reminds me so much of Rex Ryan. He is Rex Ryan, very outspoken, very flamboyant. I'm talking about, you know, just outspoken. Flamboyant's not the word. I think you know what I mean. He's just very right. Outspoken on the sidelines. You know, he is talking the entire match. Again, the Fulham announcers kept talking about him on the sidelines. And you know what? You know, he had some tactics. They worked, so you have to give him credit for that. What frustrates me is that Kit lost to that. I mean, didn't lose. He drew with that guy, because that guy is about emotion. But I have to give him credit, because he set his team up fairly well, and they frustrated Fulham. So you have to give credit to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in this case. All right, I was gonna say Jabba the Hutt or Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but I'll go with Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. One of the two. All right, Matt. We only have a couple of minutes left. Any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, you know, it's just frustrating to see us kind of continue this up and down roller coaster of a season, and I hope that we can, steady the ship and have some consistent results. And I think that, I still do think that Kit's on the chopping block. It's something that you and I talked about the vicious cycle we've been in. And but I still think that they're very seriously looking at their replacement. So we watch this space for the next couple weeks, and hopefully we can either he can find some consistency, or we can find somebody that can bring some consistency.
I totally agree with that. Something has to change. Either the results change or the manager has to change. One of the two, because again, if they keep up at this pace, we're going to end up 13th. And honestly, that isn't good enough, especially with the team that we have. The ambition of the team, the ambition of the team is to get back to the Barclays Premier League. The fans deserve it. The players deserve it. Kit deserves it. Khan deserves it. Rig deserves it. Everyone there deserves it. They need to make it happen. And if they don't have the right man that can get you the results and also the performances, because again, you need both. You absolutely need both. If he's not the right man, then they need to make a change. You know, again, and the results will end up dictating that one way or another, because the results need to be there. All right, Matt, listen, this was a great show. Again, it gave me a chance to vent, and obviously you did as well. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did, man. It's really good. It's like we always say, it's always pretty therapeutic to come on and talk, and it's great to honestly, it's great to kind of take the fan hat off for a second and really kind of dive into it from a strictly a tactics standpoint. So it's always a lot of fun.
It is, and I just so enjoy doing this with you, and I look forward to doing the next one with you. Well, that's it for the 10th episode of the Coaching Corner. Welcome, and thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Russ.
Take care. Boys and girls.